From WXXI and the Eastman School of Music, welcome to a special edition of Backstage Pass, live from Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. I'm Julia Figueres. We are thrilled to take our show on the road for the very first time to the 2017 Gateways Music Festival, which celebrates classical musicians of African descent. We have lots of great performances ahead, but now without any further ado, please welcome Music Director Michael Morgan and the Gateways Music Festival Orchestra. That was the third movement of the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, Symphony No. 1 in G. I'm Julia Figueres. Let's take a moment now to chat with Dr. Paul Burgett of the University of Rochester and board chair for the Gateways Music Festival and the festival music director, Michael Morgan. Welcome both to Backstage Pass. Michael, why is this festival important?
Well, it's actually a gathering. It's important to us personally because it's like a family reunion. I mean, there are a lot of African Americans that play classical music, but we do it scattered all over the place. And this brings a lot of us together. Many of us who actually have known of each other at various points, we actually get to sit in the same room on the same stage now. It's a very big deal for us to actually see each other. It's a family affair.
A gathering of friends.
Yes.
Paul, you are the chair of board. When did you take on that job?
I took on the role as chair of the board of directors of the Gateways Festival 2 years ago, but I've been involved with the festival since 1995, when our founder, Armenta Hummings Dumasani, brought it to Rochester. She was a faculty member at the Eastman School of Music right here, and she brought it the festival as well from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And so the festival has been presented every other year since 1995.
Of course, this is going to be changing because there's been a new mission statement put into place, and one of the changes is?
One of the changes is to move this from a biennial or every other year festival to an annual festival. We have plans beyond even that. We see ourselves as expanding beyond Rochester and its environs because we think that the Gateways Music Festival is a festival that is unique and it is something that we should share. It is something of tremendous value that we should share with the nation.
When did you start working with the Gateways Music Festival, Michael?
I was at the very first one in Winston-Salem, and I was at the very first one here in Eastman, and I've done most of them now.
So what changes have you seen over the many years of the Gateways?
Well, there are more and more people hearing about it. There are, it's actually become quite a thing for people to want to come to be in it. So the level of playing goes up and up and up all the time. And it's gotten to the point now where we just, I can't remember how many applications we have, but it's way more than we can actually accommodate now.
250 applications from around the country and even around the world this year, of which we actually were able to invite 125.
It's always good to have too many. So does this mean, Michael, that you have changed what you program musically in your artistic decisions?
Not so much. We've always done a combination of pieces by historic black composers like Saint-Georges, living black composers like Hale Storck, and then works from the standard repertory.
Are you, what are you planning for the next Gateways? I mean, obviously, if we're doing this a year from now again, you must be starting to think about what you want to do next.
I am just trying to live through this one. So I actually start thinking about the next one when this one is over, because then we look at, well, who came, who might come next time, and then what repertory does that suggest? So that's sort of the order we do it in.
And I should mention that we have an artistic advisory committee, which is made up of members of the Gateways Festival Orchestra, and the leadership of that is our president and artistic director, Lee Kuntz, and Michael Morgan. And so we begin a process of deciding on what repertoire is going to comprise the next festival.
Well, you must have a bucket list, a wish list of things you haven't done yet that you would really like to bring forward to be performed in the festival. So what are the things that you would really like to take on now, Michael?
Well, once we get bigger and more winds brass, of course we want to, like every orchestra, we want to get up and into our Mahler symphonies. So that's coming down the road. As is, for example, we're doing Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto this year, but we're also looking forward to doing the symphonic dances at some point. So there's big repertory like that that allows more and more people to play.
So I understand that volunteers are really kind of big for the Gateways Festival.
We have been a volunteer organization from our founding. We have a program planning committee that's made up entirely of volunteers, and these are the folks who make the trains run on time. Without them, we simply could not have a festival. There's the artistic advisory committee, which I mentioned earlier, and without them, we wouldn't have a festival. The only paid professional of Gateways is our president and artistic director, Lee Kuntz, whom you will hear from soon, and who happens to be an Eastman School alumnus. And so volunteers are absolutely essential. The community is absolutely essential.
Well, Michael has made his way back to the podium, so let's get ready to hear An American Port of Call by Rochester composer Adolphus Hale Storck. Adolphus Hale Storck actually studied at Howard University, one of our historically black universities, and spent a summer in France studying with the mighty Nadia Boulanger. You're listening to Backstage Pass. We are live from Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. Here is Michael Morgan with the Gateways Festival Orchestra and An American Port of Call by Adolphus Hale Storck.
Thank you.
That was the Gateways Festival Orchestra under the direction of Michael Morgan with Adolphus Hale Storks, an American port of call. I'm Julia Figueres. This is Backstage Pass. We're live at Kodak Hall. Each year, the Gateways Music Festival has brought in a soloist to perform in the big Sunday afternoon concert. This year, it's pianist Stuart Goodyear coming in from Toronto, Canada, to play Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2. He joins me now. Welcome back to Rochester, Stuart.
Hi, Julia.
It's so great to have you here. Is this your first Gateways Music Festival?
This is my Gateways debut.
Excellent. So what was it about this festival that made you say yes?
Everything. I got an email from Lee, and I had a chance to check out the history of Gateways and just what it represents, and it just inspired me. And immediately after that, I just said, yes, I had to be a part of it. And it's just a great pleasure to be here.
The last time you were here was almost exactly 5 years ago, and you were about to embark on a very big project, your Beethoven Marathon. Tell us about that.
So this was how I first heard the Beethoven sonatas. I was 3 years old, actually, and at that time, I just couldn't get enough of classical music. I felt like I was this rebel in my neighborhood. Everyone else was listening to Sting, Michael Jackson, and Tears for Fears, and I felt like I was this guy who just went against the grain. And this was before I went to my first classical concert, but I thought this was probably the wildest music that I ever heard, and I just wanted to be a part of it. So it was my first box set. It was a gold set of 13 LPs. And from the first LP, I was just riveted. And by the time I realized it, I was on the 13th LP. I didn't stop. And I think afterwards, that's when I started to realize that I was kind of hungry and thirsty. But before that, I was Beethoven was taking me on this journey, and I thought, well, if I ever perform the sonatas, I just couldn't pick one out of the 32 gems, and then just took the plunge and shared with the audience how I first heard it. And I've done 5 sonatathons since, but the first one began where I was from, Toronto.
If I get this right, you sat down with the audience and started one,
yes,
and you play all the way through by memory to number 32.
That's right. Well, with breaks. So the sonatathon is divided into 3 parts: early, middle, and late Beethoven. So I was dreaming that the audience would be there to take in the entire event and have lunch and dinner together and sharing stories about their first experience with Beethoven. And my dream came true.
And now you have moved on to Ravel, and this will be your next big project as well?
My newest recording were the Ravel piano works that just came out this past June. And Ravel was also a part of my life, and I wanted to share that with the listeners as well.
It's quite a leap from Beethoven to Ravel, but I know you can do it, Stuart.
Thank you.
Well,
now
we're going to be hearing you play a little bit of Rachmaninoff in this show, so thank you for joining us, Stuart.
It's a great pleasure.
We're going back to music now, and we have the second movement of Florence Price's String Quartet in G. Our players are violinists Caitlin Edwards and Savion Washington. The violist is Andre Mitchell, and our cellist is James Murphy. This is Backstage Pass.
Thank you.
That's a second movement on the string quartet in G by Florence Price, with violinists Caitlin Edwards and Savion Washington, violist Andre Mitchell, and cellist James Murphy. This is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres, and we're live at the Gateways Music Festival. Our next guests are violist Amari Azakue and double bassist Chichi Nwanoku. Chichi Nwanoku actually came in from London, so I think you get the big farthest distance prize. Welcome to Gateways. Amari, your mother, Armenta Hamines Dumasani, began the Gateways Music Festival 24 years ago. Do you remember the first one?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this was a collaboration that was between North Carolina School of the Arts, the community, and we'd lived there for about 9 years at that point. And it was the most amazing thing I had ever seen.
When did you get roped into playing your first one? Was that your first one?
I've been at all of them except one.
Really?
Except the two. I was recording Bach. My apologies.
Oh, Bach. Well, that's fine then. What changes have you seen over the years?
Well, I have observed that after every Gateways, everyone leaves with more ideas, really, or than can fit, about how to sort of take this idea back to the individual communities where we all come from and see if some sort of growth can be made there. So I've done it. I know several musicians personally who've started their own group or chamber series or orchestra or organization.
So now, Chichi, you actually have done something like this in London. It's the BME Orchestra, which stands for
Black and Minority Ethnic.
And how many musicians have you put together for your orchestra?
Well, it all depends on the repertoire we're playing, but the Chineke Orchestra, there's in fact two orchestras, a professional orchestra and a junior orchestra, that were launched at exactly the same time on the 13th of September 2015. And it was very much inspired by the only organization I knew at that time, which was the Sphinx Organization, based out of Detroit. And also an enormous amount of encouragement from the British government, who wanted to talk to me about the fact that they only ever saw me walking on the stage, which to begin with I found really confusing. But when they rubbed it in my face, I realized what they were talking about, i.e. I was the only person of color on the stage. And once I had explained how I, when they see me walking onto the stage, it's because I'm walking on the stage to do my job. I am a musician. I've never defined myself by the color of my skin. That's what they see. And so, once the penny had dropped, I realized, I looked around myself and saw that there was a great need of work, a lot of work needed to be done in our industry, in England and Europe. And so I had to set about doing something about it.
I assume that you feel, Amari, that that same work needs to be done on this side of the pond as well.
I do, but I also find that in terms of artistic growth, and now at my age, having been through all of the Gateways, or most of them, I find that just simply allowing our art to define us. And I've looked at sort of the different methods, the different outreach programs, and the different methods that are used to sort of raise awareness. And I'm finding just letting our art, the music, is the most important thing for me. That's where I am.
Thank you both for coming and sitting down with me. And for being at Gateways, welcome. This is your first Gateways.
It is, yes.
I hope not your last. This is Amari Azakue, who plays viola, and Chichi Nwanoku, who's the double bassist. And it's time now to get down to brass tacks with Leonard Bernstein. Our brass quintet are trumpeters Herb Smith and Courtney Jones. Nelson Lawson plays the horn. Rick Fleming, the trombone. Richard White, the tuba. It's a bit of West Side Story live from Kodak Hall on Backstage Pass. Story. Something's Coming is the song before that. excerpts from Leonard Bernstein's masterpiece. The trumpeters were Herb Smith and Courtney Jones, the cornist Nelson Lawson, the trombonist Rick Fleming, and tubist Richard White. We're live from Kodak Hall and Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. Joining me now are the big movers and shakers of the Gateways Music Festival, Eastman School of Music Dean Jamal Rossi and Lee Kunsu, is the president and artistic director. Welcome both. This is a big change for the Gateways Music Festival. It is now officially a partner of the Eastman School of Music. Lee, what's the historical relationship between these two entities?
Sure. Gateways has been in partnership with the Eastman School of Music for its entire history here in Rochester, so since 1995, providing all kind of support. So all kind of support. For instance, performances here in this incredible hall. And so all of our rehearsals are here, our performances are here, the main ones are here. So there's been a connection and a relationship between Eastman and the Gateways Music Festival since the beginning of its history here. And now it's just formalized a bit.
Jamal, why is this festival important to the Eastman School of Music?
You know, Julia, this beautiful theater where we sit, on the facade are the words, "erected for the enrichment of community life." And we take that very seriously. And we are so thrilled to have Gateways as part of this community. And we want the entire community of Rochester and the world community to feel very welcomed in this space. So bringing Gateways into Eastman's family even closer is something that is part of what Lee and I are working on and trying to create an opportunity for young musicians to train, to be inspired, to come to Eastman and eventually to sit on this stage as part of the Gateways Music Festival.
We actually have many youngsters in the audience today. So Lee, are we looking at the future of the Gateways?
We certainly are. We have in front of us about 43 young musicians from Rochester and a couple, yeah, they're all waving their hands out there. That's great, yes. From Rochester and some from Buffalo, from some of the incredible music programs that are here in the community and we're delighted to have them join us in just a couple of hours, I guess.
There's a whole youth program that is offered by the Gateways Festival, yep. And you can find that at the website if you'd like to plug that website.
It's called the Young Musicians Institute, and this is the first year we've done this, so it's really exciting.
We are all excited to see how this will expand in time. Thank you very much for sitting down with us, Lee Kunz and Jamal Rossi. We are now going to go back to music, and we spoke to Stuart Goodyear a little earlier, so I think it's time now for us to hear him play. So here is Stuart Goodyear with Michael Morgan and the Gateways Music Festival Orchestra to perform the final movement of Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 on Backstage Pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
live from Kodak Hall on Backstage Pass, the third movement of Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 with pianist Stuart Goodyear, conductor Michael Morgan, and the Gateways Music Festival Overture. Listen to that. I'm Julia Figueres. We're going to meet two members of this great orchestra, cellist Capella Massina, and a gentleman that you heard playing a trumpet a little bit earlier, trumpeter Herb Smith.
Hello.
Welcome, Capella. Welcome, Herb. Capella, you are from?
I come from South Africa.
That's a long way to drive. You just graduated from the Eastman School of Music. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And next stop for you is?
I'm moving to New York City to go to school at Juilliard.
Congratulations. It's a long trip from South Africa to Rochester. Why did you choose the Eastman School of Music?
Because I loved Mr. Doan, the cello teacher who I was here to study with. And I'd heard a lot of his recordings, and I knew a lot about the school's reputation, so I really wanted to come here.
And it's something that you share in common with our other guest, Herb Smith. You also went to the Eastman School of Music.
I sure did.
So what is it about the Eastman School of Music that's so special? I have heard over and over again that it is unlike any other music school. What sets this school apart? Herb?
For me, the trumpet studio here was, at the time, was just top-notch. My trumpet teacher, Barbara Butler, just had a number of students just completely got orchestra jobs all over the world. And even today, the trumpet studio, just it continues to do well. So that's what drew me in to the Eastman School.
What special gifts did the Eastman give you, Capella, that you can now take out into the real world, as it were?
I think for me, what was most important throughout my education here, that seems to be something that has always and will always last with me, are the connections that I made with the students here. There's a special sort of sense of community here that I have not found elsewhere, actually.
I agree with that. Yeah, I've met many of my friends are in orchestras all over the world, and you can call them up and make contacts.
So this is your very first Gateways, Capella, yes?
Yes, it is.
And? How's it going?
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a little overwhelming to see so many people who look exactly like me, but come from so many different environments, but are also just incredibly talented and skilled at what they're doing.
See, for me, the Gateways, this group on stage here can actually change the view of the world of what people of African descent and of dark color can do, can be, can strive for. This picture right here, the entire world needs to see, because it'll change completely. I mean, think about policemen, people in authority. If you're thinking of what people look like, you think, wow, they could be a musician. They could be, it just changed your worldview.
Yeah.
Do you remember the piece of music that you first heard, Capella, that made you want to be a cellist?
Yes, it actually happens to be the symphony that we are playing in this festival, the second symphony of Johannes Brahms.
And here you are.
And here I am, yes.
Congratulations.
For me, the piece was Star Wars. Yeah.
It has to be. All that John Williams brass must be the thing that turned you around. Very briefly, do you find that this year is different from any of the other years that you've been involved, Herb?
It is so dynamic. The people, it's just, I feel energized. It's almost like professional development for me to be here with so many people, to make contacts, to see people I haven't seen for 2 years, to see people that I've never met. I mean, I met Patricia from Hamburg, Germany. She's going to have me come and play in Germany. I just made that up. But you meet so many people, and it's great.
I want to thank you both for joining us today, and congratulations on your successes. Good luck in New York City, Capella.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us for the special broadcast of Backstage Pass, live from Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. It has really been our privilege to be part of the Gateways Music Festival, celebrating the talents of classical musicians of African descent. Our audio engineer is John Cooper, and we had assistance from Jules Cochamilia and Helen Smith from Eastman, and Andrew Karcher and Michael Black from WXXI. Ron Stackman is the director of stage operations at the Eastman School of Music. His amazing crew includes Brian Signorelli, Zach Freeman, and Deirdre Street. We had help from Gateways Festival Orchestra personnel manager Robert Smith and the WXXI Classical Program Director Ruth Finney. A special thanks to Lee Kuntz, the president and artistic director of the Gateways Festival, to music director Michael Morgan for helping make this broadcast possible on Classical 91.5, and especially to the musicians of the Gateways Festival for sharing their gifts with us. Gene Fisher is the executive producer of Backstage Pass, and I'm your host, Julia Figueres. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.